Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We are so glad that you are listening in this month of June. I just really have it on my heart to just really talk to some men. And I'm really excited because tonight, first of all, I have my better half with me. I have James, my husband, with me. And I'm glad he's going to be sitting in with me. Hopefully I can talk him into sitting with me all of June. And I've got Mondo Lujan. Mondo, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I really wanted to have you on tonight because one of the things that we've been advertising and letting the people know in Cornerstone Church is this retreat that is in New Mexico, and I believe it's called Men on the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you would just share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Well, Men on the Mountain is a retreat. It's a great place for men to go and just to not only to hear God's word and to see God in a different level that you normally wouldn't see God at a church setting, but you get a group of guys together and God shows up and he shows out. It's amazing to see these men, to see a bunch of men, probably 300 plus men, to praise God, worship God on their knees, on their face, and just consume the word of God and just to get fed. You know, God is on the mountain.
That's right.
But he's also waiting for you in the valley. He's there. He preps us in a place like on a mountain to go to the valley. But every once in a while, we got to go back and just, you know, regenerate and get back in the word. And not so much get back in the word, but get in that place of an ornament, you know, tools. It's just tools for a belt. You know, we're supposed to have a belt, you know, that has tools, and we grab certain things from a place. And it's just a cool place. Grace Fellowship, Borger, are the ones that they host it. And for a little bit of time, I believe we were just doing it when I was going there. We were just doing it for Grace men. And then the church ventured off and said, hey, let's invite the community. Let's invite churches. Let's mm-hmm. invite all men. So this year, I think Grace has got 10 churches other than Grace Fellowship, and us being one of them. We got invited. And of course, I got elected to be, you know, the liaison or whatever, you know,
right.
The leader, whatever you want to call it. Maybe just because of my experience, or I don't know, but God's got a plan, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's basically what it is. It's a time for us to go and be men, you know, not only to be in God's presence and that type of deal, but go in fellowship, go and ride four wheelers, go fishing, you know, go golfing, you know, go to, Angel Fire and go golfing, you know, they golf up there or hiking, you know, if you got good knees, go hiking, you know, you're in the mountains, 9,000 feet elevation, but, yeah, I mean, it's just a cool place.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you when you started saying the golfing. So it's in Angel Fire, New Mexico?
The golf course is.
Oh, the golf course. Yeah. Okay, so where is the actual – I know it's in New Mexico, but where is it? Where is the actual retreat at?
It's going to be in Red River.
In Red River.
In Red River.
And so it's still up there where it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can escape this heat.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we're thankful for all this rain, but we got this heat coming back, and, man, it's muggy, and so you can go up there, which I guess it's going to be in September, though, right?
Right.
And so what's the dates in September?
It's the 15th through the 18th of September, 2022. And keep in mind that, you know, when you were talking about weather and all that, you know, I've been up there when it's been snowing, mm-hmm. but you're wearing shorts. I mean, it's like a whole different code, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Here, if it snows, we got parkas on. It was like, oh, get a Carhartt, you know.
Yeah,
up there,
that's
you're
right.
in shorts and a hoodie, you know. It's a pretty nice climate to be in September. But, yeah.
Okay, so, and so you said, so is that like start on a Friday and then it's over on a Sunday or?
No, so it starts Thursday night. The first session is Thursday night, and there'll be some worship and some house cleaning, you know, just to welcome a lot of folks in. Just, you know, there'll be some ministry time that night, but it actually goes full blown Friday morning, and then we're released from that first session. I think it's probably about 10 or 11 o'clock, and we eat lunch, and then you have free time up until the evening. I think about 6 o'clock, I believe, is when everybody comes back. That's where house cleaning comes in, you know, Thursday
Takes
night.
Takes care of business.
And they'll do another session Friday night, and then again Saturday would be a morning and an evening session. So the cool thing about it is on this retreat, I've gotten more, and I've seen more men get more of it. Not so much, I mean, you get a lot of it in the retreat part of it, but when we go back to our cabins, to our lodges, we get together as a community, you know, and we get together and it gets more intimate because you're more in one-on-one, you know, and usually it starts off with, man, I got this out, you know, out of tonight or this morning. And then you get to hear the testimony, what God did to him that morning or that mm-hmm. evening, you know. And there's a lot of ministry. There have been times, but we don't go to bed till 4 o'clock in the morning because it's just full-blown ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking all night long.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I thought just girls did that. So guys do that, too?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
Absolutely.
You know?
men do that.
They do that.
Yeah. You know, we do that, and I want to encourage that. You know, with these guys, the group of guys that come out of this church, I'm going to encourage that. We need to get to that place where it ain't just here, you know, and it's not just a Sunday.
Right.
You know, we need to encourage that where, you know, if me and James get together and say, dude, you need to pray for me. You know, they're going to get this experience, that type of deal, and some testimonies and, you know.
So it's going to be an opportunity where they can actually make connections with people that even once they walk away from the retreat, And when they're faced with something, they'll have somebody
absolutely
that they can go and say, hey, I need prayer or I need help with this.
Absolutely. Accountability is king for men. You know, it's I got several men that call me in a weekly basis that I hadn't seen in 10, 15 years that I met at the mountain, you know, on at the retreat. They're still calling me and say, hey, man, I'm doing okay, or hey, I need, you know, will you pray for me, that type of deal. I mean, it's, you have to have that accountability, you know, it has to keep going, you know, and me too. I mean, there's guys that I call and say, hey, you don't have to pray for me.
Yes.
Because I'm about to lose whatever, you know
yes.
what I mean? So there's it's good. It's just, and I believe that this community, this church community, the men of this church is going to experience something that they never experienced before. And even if they went before, I think it's going to be better because there's actually going to be a couple guys on the inside that's going to kind of help lead. Not so much what happens at the retreat, at the event, but back at the motel or, you know, the condos or the cabin. Because that's, for me, that's where the fruit's at.
That's right. And I like that you said that the men, they're going to meet God there.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of having that expectation. But it makes me kind of laugh a little bit. Well, if you'd share a little bit about the very first time you went to the mm-hmm. Men on the Mountain.
Absolutely.
And just kind of tell them, because I really love that story, because I think a lot of men think the same way.
Okay. So 2008, I was working for the federal government. You know, I was fighting fire for the federal government, and I was gone a lot, you know. And it just, I was gone probably 300 days of the year fighting fire out west in a mountain somewhere. And, well, I knew that it wasn't because I loved that. I love that setting of being, not so much of being gone from my family, but love that job and love the freeness and the, you know, I'm out in the wilderness,
yeah.
You know, and, but didn't realize the effect that it was happening at home when I got home. You know, Mandy was left home with a small farm with 5 kids and, you know, everything, life. And then I'm gone 300 days of the year was not good. So we was kind of struggling. I mean, I just be real. Our marriage was really struggling. So I quit, and I quit the federal government and went to work for another company, and which is another government, Canadian Water Authority in Fritch, and went to work for this company and this outfit. And my supervisor, his name is James Murray, godly man. He's probably a pillar in my life. Actually, mm-hmm. He is a pillar in my life, and man of not so many words. I mean, when he spoke, I mean, you better listen to him, kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And he invited me to this thing. At the time, I was thinking, man, I don't know, man, I don't want to go to some mountain, a bunch of Bible thumping sissies, kind of a deal, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that. That's silly, you know. And I didn't know God. Never had a relationship with him. I think I've said it in the past where I didn't even know what Easter was actually about.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Christians celebrate Jesus in some ways. I didn't realize it was his death and resurrection, you know. I didn't know.
So was it the Easter bunny for you?
Yeah, it's Peter Cottontail.
Okay.
All the way. All the way.
Okay.
So, you know, first of all, I told Mandy, I said, sweetheart, even if I did want to go, we don't have the money to go, you know. And, about 2 weeks before it was time to go, you know, and I actually said yes, I get a check in the mail from some lady in Connecticut, I don't even know, and sends me a letter. And inside this letter, there's a check. And the letter, it says, God, you know, Mandy still has the letter, says, you know, I was praying, and all of a sudden, your name popped up, and I had to find out who you were and that type of deal, and God told me to send you this $250. I don't know what it's for, but here it is. Mandy puts a check in my face in the letter. And I read it, and the first thing, my thought is, who you been talking to?
Oh, yeah.
Who's this lady? Who you been talking to, you know, and frustrated. And she said, well, you got the money now. I said, well, crud, you know, I guess, sure. So the next day, or Monday, I go to work, and I tell James, go to your church and put my name up there, you know, sign me in, whatever, you know. That's all I tell him.
I guess, yeah.
So I'm signed up. So this is 2 weeks before. Well, a week, the Thursday before we go, I have an accident at work, and I end up breaking 3 ribs. And if you never broken 3 ribs, it's horrific because you can't even breathe. You can't laugh. And I'm a jokester, and then everybody wants to joke back with me. And so it was rough. And anyway, so I remember laying there on the couch because I was on light duty. They wouldn't let me go back to work. Now, I remember laying there, and I looked over there, and Mandy was washing dishes, or the house that we lived at the time, the kitchen was opened up to the living room. So I'm watching TV, have a pillow over my belly, over my ribs, and I remember looking over at her and saying, sweetheart, I don't think I'm going now. I'm busted up. So she's washing dishes, and all of a sudden, the clattering of the dishes stop. I can hear footsteps. She gets me between me and the TV, and she puts her hands on my knees, and she goes, Mondo Lujan, you're going to that mountain. You're going to that retreat if I have to drag you up there myself. So I say, okay, I get off of me. I go, you know, I'm going, you know. So next thing you know, a week later, I'm going. So that Thursday night, I was not good, uncomfortable, because here at that time, mainly everybody shows up about Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody shows up the Thursday night. So there's probably maybe 100 people there, 100 men. Those are the go-getters. The ones that show up on Thursday night are the core group, like the go-getters, you know, get on their face and just worship God like no other.
Yeah.
So that's where I was amongst those guys, you know. And so the music kicks off, and it's Paxton. And the music is really good. It's probably the best band, best worship team that you can get, you know, whatever. Anyway, so by the time, these words are foreign. The songs are foreign. You know, I'm a George Strait, Clint Black kind of guy, you know. And
yeah.
These words are really foreign to me, the music. And I remember just holding my ribs. These men are standing up, you know, worshiping God, and I was thinking, I think tomorrow I'm getting my pickup. I'm going home. That's where I was at. So this ain't good. I was not in a good place. You know, that's just the enemy just telling me.
Oh, yeah.
So next morning, we go eat breakfast, and I'm dreading going because, you know, now we get to hear some pastor, you know. And the only thing I could think of is the only pastors I've ever seen was the guys on TV on late night, and they're like, you know, you're going to go to hell, and, you know, and those guys.
Yeah.
And if you don't send $1,000, you know, and I need a jet plane, you know, so I can go to Africa, you know. And that's the pastors I'm thinking I'm fixing to listen to. So we go eat breakfast, go to the first session. Music's going, you know, and the band, I mean, and I could feel the presence of God at the time. I didn't know what it was. It was just foreign, you know, but I knew that there was some kind of presence that I didn't know about. You know, mm-hmm. I've never experienced this before. My heart's thumping, you know, my ribs are hurting, everybody worshiping God, and through the music. And this man stands up, and he slows down the music. His name's Larry Titus. And he says, and he grabs a mic, and he says, "There's two men in this group this morning that doesn't know God, doesn't know the love of God, does not know the love of the Father. As a matter of fact, they may be even an orphan." And I'm thinking, wow, you know, an orphan. I never, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking orphan like they're fatherless, you know,
yes,
like the dad's not there, you know. And that's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm not what I know now, you know, being an orphan, you can have a dad, a good dad, but you can still not have that. You can still be an orphan. You know what I mean? Cause you don't
right.
have that fatherly love like our Father loves us. So, he says, they're going to have to hit the altar this morning. You know, they need to come to the altar. And then when he said altar, the first thing that comes to my mind is there's like a rock or something, some kind of platform up there, and somebody's going to lay down, and there's going to be like this, I'm thinking in my mind, this Mexican Indian fix to cut somebody's heart out, you know.
And, oh, yeah, or burn,
you know, rip,
or something.
Yeah,
and
rather, you know, their heart, you know, throw it in the fire, and if it burns, you know, you're good, you're, you know, whatever. And I'm thinking, looking around, saying, I don't know who them poor suckers are. That's not me, you know. But it was me. It was me. And so my heart's thumping. You can almost see my heart thumping through my hoodie. And I'm wearing shorts and a hoodie. And I'm just bursting. I mean, I'm getting chills. I'm just bursting because I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. So I stepped out of my chair. And I walk up to the front. And I get right in the middle where Paxson is singing. And as a matter of fact, he's going to be there. He's going to be, you know, leading worship here that weekend. And I remember just dropping to my knees. And I remember just, I don't know any churchy words at the time, nothing. You know, I just, all I could say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You help me. You know, everything I could possibly say without saying churchy words. But you know, I say churchy words, it's just because I didn't know any. All
right.
I said is, I'm sorry. Whatever you want me to do. Just take this away.
You were genuine.
Yeah.
You were real.
I was just being real.
That's right.
And I felt like I had this wool wet blanket on me, just being lifted off of me. And I could breathe, and I was just sitting there bawling. I hadn't cried in years, you know, because, you know, men don't cry, you know, and I hadn't cried in years, especially over something that I don't know and can't see and can't smell, can't taste, you know.
Or understand,
feel.
Billy, yeah.
Yeah. So all this is happening to me, and it felt to me like I was there I felt like I was on his lap, kind of, you know. And all I remember is I think I was there for, I thought I was there for hours, but, you know, it might have been 10, 15 minutes, but just bawling. I mean, like, close to being in a fetal position, bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember getting up. And all these men, I see the faces of these men, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, just, you
cheering
know,
you on.
Yeah. So I'm walking back to my chair and everybody's hugging me. Keep in mind, my ribs were broke at the time, you know, and, all these men bear hugging me, high fiving me, good gaming me, everything, you know, and all these men that knew who I was, you know, knew who I was before, you know, they knew that I was out of place,
mm-hmm.
that I felt out of place. Get back to my chair and, that song, at the time, it was popular. I am free to run.
Oh, yeah.
I am
yeah.
free to dance. a little bit of me wanted me to get up and run. Just run around that whole auditorium. But I wasn't that saved yet. So I didn't do that.
Not quite.
So I remember getting back to my chair, and I remember, you know, because I'd hold my elbow to my ribs, and I remember putting my elbow to my ribs, and I remember not feeling anything. So I reach over there, and I'm pushing on my ribs. I said, man, something ain't right. So I get up, and I quietly walk out of the auditorium, go into where the bathrooms are, and I remember going in the bathroom and just kind of hitting my ribs, you know, feeling my ribs, and something's wrong. So I immediately get my phone, because I'm not understanding, so I call Mandy, my wife. I said, sweetheart, something's wrong. And in her mind, she's thinking, oh, my God, you know.
What have they done?
Yeah, who'd you whip up on or something like that, you know. I said, no, sweetheart, something's wrong, and something's wrong with my ribs. She goes, are you okay? Did you take your – because I don't take codeine or hydrocodone, you know, the painkillers. Mm-hmm. I didn't take any of that. You know, I can't because it makes me feel weird. So I said, no. She goes, you might want to take some. I said, no, you don't understand. I can't feel my ribs. She said, well, what happened? I said, well, this guy said something about an altar, and I got up and went to the altar and hit my knees, and I'm bawling when I'm talking to her. She goes, calm down. And what'd you do at the altar? And I said, well, I dropped to my knees, and I told God, you know, that I'm sorry, you know, and I was telling her all these things that I said, you know, and forgive me, and that type of deal. And she goes, sweetheart, you gave your life to Christ. I said, what do you mean gave my life to Christ? You know, how do you give that away, you know? And so anyways, went through that spiel. She started, you know, you could tell that there was a relief in her voice, you know, like she was so happy. And I hung up the phone. I was walking back, and Larry Titus, which is he was a mentor of mine. He's a spiritual father of mine for a long time. He caught me before I went in because he saw me go out. And he goes, do you know what you just did? And I said, no. He goes, you gave your life to Christ. You know what that means? I said, no, I don't. And basically he said, well, what it means is you're going to have an understanding for God's love. Said, your life is going to change dramatically from now on. And he's giving me all this stuff, and he's speaking life into me. He goes, but, he said, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. He said, you're going to still have tribulations. You're still going to have rough waters. You're still going to have mountains to climb. You still got to go back to the valleys. And he said, more so, you're going to be more aware. You're going to have more incidents than you had before, because now the enemy is going to try to take you out. And I remember him also saying that your house is going to change dramatically. I said, okay, well, I don't know exactly. You know, he tried not to keep it too, you know, where I could understand it, because he knew where I was at. So here we are, you know. And another quick deal is that the pastor of this of Grace Fellowship, his name's Marshall Ford, and another man that spoke life to me, and I learned a lot. A lot of my maturity comes from him, and the whole team, the whole staff from Grace Fellowship, but especially Pastor Marshall. I remember the next day, Friday morning after the session, everybody went up on their four wheelers. Well, I took my pickup and I went up to Cabresto Lake. I drove my truck up to Cabresto Lake and I was fishing, and I was there all by myself. Wasn't catching nothing. I was sitting there fishing, because that was my main deal, is to go fishing. I didn't care less about what, you know, what's going on over here.
All that other stuff.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to fish. I'm throwing everything I possibly can. All of a sudden, here comes 50 four-wheelers come up. Oh, they're pulling up. And then Marshall and Tim Hall, which is at the time was associate pastor, Marshall looks over there at their elbows. Tim goes, who's that guy? And talking about me. And Tim goes, oh, it's one of the guys that that James Murray, you know, one of his employees that he invited up here. So Marshall goes, Well, later, knowing Marshall said, and he talked about it in one of his messages, that when he saw me, what he saw was that guy ain't going to catch anything. He's not going to catch anything, because he's not here to catch anything. He's not here to catch fish. He's here to catch men. That man's going to be the fisher of men.
Oh, wow.
So when he said that, we was in church, and I just broke down. Because he spoke that into me. That was an anointing. That was my release to do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, is, you know, helping guys, bringing guys to a place with a father, to come expected and to come ready. And that it doesn't matter what you've done in the past and who you are, God would use you. And it may not be tomorrow. It may be next year. It may, you just don't know. But we got to be in the ready, you know. And I was blown away because, you know, of course, he spoke that over me. Next thing you know, 2 years later, I hadn't done any kind of ministry because I needed to be a minister too, because I was just green. Finally got to do some stuff, you know, and got to experience some things and go to some of the ministries, men's ministry, and learning, and I'm feeding and I'm thriving off this. And eventually I got released into doing men's ministry. Never would I ever thought that I'd be doing, much less being on the radio.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, it just by accepting, and later I knew, you know, by reading the word, I knew what, okay, I needed to back up because I started in Genesis, and it just blew me away. You know, I was looking for Medusa. I was looking for Zeus. I was looking for all these gods, you know, that I've seen.
Yes.
Seriously. And I looked, and we were laying in bed, and I rode over, and I told my aunt, I said, where's Medusa and all these other gods? She looked at me and goes, seriously? I said, yeah. She said, sweetheart, those are little G gods. They're not going to be in that Bible. They're not real. Okay, all right. So I've been lied to this whole time, you know. So anyways, that's where I was at. Ain't that crazy? You know, to be in a place where you don't, you see God, and you see things, and you see people do things, and you think it's not real, but it's real. You know, my ribs were healed, by the way. I forgot to tell that. When I gave my life to Christ, when I hit that altar, my ribs were healed. So just so the folks that don't, I missed that part out, my ribs were healed. So not only did he heal my heart, he healed my ribs, he healed my home, because my home was already ready when I got back home.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that you said was whenever you got invited, you didn't want to go because you thought that was for sissies. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Why do you think that is? Because I think that a lot of men probably have that mentality. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is? And if you're willing to share, why, be honestly, like, why did you think that that was your thoughts?
Absolutely. So, you know, me growing up, you know, men are supposed to be hard and tough and you know, firm handshakes and not show emotion, not show feelings, you know, and just to I don't know, just be hard, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons I felt like that's not a place for me, is because, you know, when you think of a Christian, you're thinking of this weak man.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of this man that will turn the other cheek or give up everything, you know, because you're weak, you know, to give money to something or to tithe, because some pastor's asking for money, that's a sign of weakness. That's what I'm thinking, you know. That's
right.
What I'm in things like. So, yeah, I was that person. I mean, I was that hard and that ignorant, thinking that a man should not be weak, and actually has nothing to do with weakness at all. Period. I mean, there's nothing about Christianity. My Jesus, this is how tough my Jesus is. He built a weapon out of rope, went into a church, and started whipping people with it. That's not weak. My Jesus is tough. You know what I mean? You can still carry. I'm not talking about identity, but character. You can still have a character of a strong man, you know, but also love Jesus. You know, and it's okay to tithe, and it's okay to give, and it's okay to love a brother, and it's okay to say, James, I love you, dude. You know, it's okay. And it's okay to see a man hurting and not even asking what's wrong with him. If he's in a chair at church and he's just bawling, is getting next to him and just bawl with him. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay just to hurt with somebody. It's okay to show your feelings, your emotions, you know. My Jesus was a gentleman, but he was tough. And my Jesus is not weak. He's the strongest man that I know. All my strength, all my courage comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. And so it's, Of course, that also has to do with how you've been growing up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's a lot of things that I had to sever and to, you know, I love y'all. You know, thanks, family, uncles, and dads. You know, thank you for investing in me and in being this tough guy. But I love you, but see you later. Because my father in heaven is now teaching me how to be a man, but to love, you know. And that was another thing, is being humble. Ooh, that was, you know, pride was a big issue for me, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of things, you know. Pride is a big issue, you know. Of course, you have all the wounds, you know, from growing up, and
right.
So that kind of puts you in a place where you don't want to tell anybody about your stuff, you know. That's weak,
right?
But in reality, you bring it to light.
And so you had said you had to sever some of those relationships, or, you know, and when you do that, do you think that it was a part of maybe to change your thinking, to reprogram kind of what, like you said, you went to your Heavenly Father and he began to teach you to be that and kind of change some of that way of thinking maybe?
Yeah. So one of the things that I did, what I love to do when I read the Word, is I like to character read. So like, for instance, the night before Jesus got arrested and got arrested, you know, he was having dinner. He was just having supper with his disciples, sitting there. Everybody's just imagine, you know, just all the guys, all the disciples, Mary and whoever else was there, just having a good time, and, you know, and probably joking and stuff like that. And Jesus he's preparing. He's fixing to blow them away. It's okay to do this. We need more table settings. At home, by the way, we need to eat at the table as a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. That's big. That's a world changer right there. That needs to be back in the household, is eat supper with your family. Once a night, once a day, every evening if you can. Anyways, so one of the things so I put myself in that place where, put myself in Jesus' shoes, you know, when he's sitting there and he goes and he grabs a bowl of water and he grabs a towel, puts his apron on. And he sits them all up, you know, sits them down. And he starts washing feet. You know, you would think, in my way, in my old way of thinking, they should be washing his feet. That's the King of Kings. But no, we're here not only to disciple our loved ones, but we're here to invest in them. We're here to serve them. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing as men, especially men of the house. So I remember coming home from an event. And the event was great, but what I fix to talk about did not happen. I didn't get this teaching from there. I got it from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, I have this problem about humility. I need to change this. You know what I need to do, God? Show me what I need to do. Boom, he reminded me of the feet washing. So I go home, and that same, we got there early in the afternoon, and that, you know, all the kids were happy. You know, I got home and I was so ready to be home to my wife, and man, my wife is hot. So I mean, I got to hurry to get to my wife. She's beautiful. But anyways, so I remember sitting them down on the couch. I said, hey, listen, I'm fixing to do something. I've never done this before, but, you know, be patient with me. So they're sitting on the couch, all of them, all five kids, you know, all the kids and my wife. So I go in the kitchen, I grab the biggest bowl I could get, grab me a towel, and I start with the youngest. At the time, Myrna was probably 4 years old, you know. So I start washing her feet. Then when I'm washing her feet, I'm speaking life to her. And I'm just praying over and just speaking life to her. I'm washing her feet.
Powerful.
So I get to all of them, you know, and I finally get to my wife, and I'm washing her feet. You know, I'm just speaking life. I mean, I'm just pouring everything I possibly can to my family. So I get up and I put the towel over my shoulder, you know, and it was a cool thing, you know, and I felt good. It was right. Well, I thought I was done. Well, my oldest daughter stands up. She goes, wait, Daddy, let's wash your feet. So, sorry.
Yeah.
So I sat down and they started washing my feet, all of them, and they started praying for me and speaking life into me. And that turned. So my household changed after I got off the cross, but that moment, it really shook the foundation in my home, because it was like another step. another step that that we're done with that and go to the next step. But it was mm-hmm. a very important step because that showed my kids, my family, where my heart is. And then in return, I got the same thing.
Yes.
So it was amazing. And I love telling that story because men need to do that. You know, we need to do that at home. You know, the whole table, we're eating at the table, there's things that we need to do that we need to bring back home. We need to do this, you know. And I know, you know, we're ranchers, you know, and we also have other jobs, you know, and we're in the busy all the time. But at the end of the day, we need to remember where God is in our lives, at our home, and we need to bring that back. You know, gather up, go do your deal during the day, and come back, breathe, okay. Sweetheart, you know, Mandy in the mornings, she likes to read the word in the mornings. So I have to listen to what she, you know, every morning when I drink coffee, I have to listen to what she has to say.
Well, she's reading, yeah.
In the evenings, that's when I do my, you know, I do my stuff in the evening. So I may roll over and share with her, you know, or maybe just not. But, you know, we feed each, you know, we have that moment. Our kids are gone now, so it's just me and Mandy. So we kind of have to feed off of each other. So it's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
You know, and you, okay, so you said you went to the retreat in 2008 was your very first time. And so did you continue to go every year after that?
Absolutely.
And would you say that because of that, it contributed to your personal walk with God?
Absolutely. I don't think it was ordained and it was God's timing for sure. Absolutely. I think if I would have denied not going or not going, I think it wouldn't have been a good setting. It'd been a little bit harder for me and my family. You know, the thing is that we don't have to go to a retreat. We don't have to go to the Walk of Emmaus. We don't have to do these things. You know, it's there.
It's right here in the book.
It's there. You know, everything that we do, it's there. But we do need those tools. We do need to go get fed, or maybe not so much fed, but to learn something, to grasp something. It may not even have to do anything with the sessions that's going. Maybe it's at the cabin, and you get to hear somebody's testimony and say, "Hey, that's me. You know, I've dealt with pornography. I've dealt with drugs. I've dealt with this. I've dealt with that. How do I get to your place? It's easy, dude. But this is how we're going to do it. Is you're going to confess, and you're going to repent, and we're going to pray, and we're going to anoint you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have oil. We're going to do the deal. You know, it says in James, we got to do these things: confess, repent, anoint, and pray. We got to do these things. I mean, it says in James.
That's right.
Book of James is, I love that book. It's in your face and it's real. And anyways.
So with the retreat, do you feel like that while you were there, that you had an opportunity to see that Christian men were not sissies? Did you have an opportunity to see that a difference in the men and that you've had around you, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So the retreat. So you see these men, there'll be 300 plus men there, and there'll probably be a third that probably need a life-changing experience, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pastors give their life to Christ. I prayed for pastors that have been pastors for years and give their life to Christ. So you're going to see those guys, and they're hard to see. They're hard to tell who's who because they're raising hands, and they know to worship. They know the deal. They know church, and they know how to move and how to talk and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, do you really know Jesus? Because all you got to do is ask somebody, tell me your salvation story. And it's real simple. You had your salvation story, it's real easy to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going, "Well, I was baptized this, you know, whatever," wait a minute. No, I mean, the moment you had that encounter with Jesus and you gave your life to Christ, you know, anyway, so it's hard to tell. But, you know, we can walk in as men of Christ, you know, and you've walked with Christ a while, you can tell who isn't and who is and who is.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we're judging, But you can tell by how they act and how if they're uncomfortable, that type of deal.
Right.
So, not that I go over there just to see those, look for those guys, but I go to love on those guys.
Right.
I do. I mean,
and to be a strength to them.
Absolutely.
And so, and that's kind of really what my point was, because I know that you're gonna have, you know, anywhere you go, you're gonna have a variety of people that are in different stages mm-hmm. of their life in Christ, and that's why they go to retreats. Mm-hmm. You go to just be strengthened in yep. those areas, and so. But I was, as we think, as I talk about this, and I can tell that you're really passionate about this, and you really, I can see that is in your heart to mm-hmm. reach out to guys and to help them. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to somebody that's listening out there that may be in the same place, which I think I know what you're going to say, but, you know, I don't know if I want to go to this retreat.
Well, you know, the first thing that you want to say is pray about going. But the thing is that somebody was asked, you know, James Murray asked me to pray about going. Like, dude, I don't pray, you know.
yeah.
So, as from my experience, is go to be selfish. If you're going to go, it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to go to receive something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're tired of this life. And you're it's in a bad place. It's broken. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose if you go?
Right.
The worst thing can do is you're going to go eat at some cool places, go do some cool stuff, come home. You know,
in the mountains.
Yeah,
I mean, cool place.
You know, and it's like go expect something. Be selfish. You know, go thinking I went with a bad heart. You know, I went, you know, kicking and crying and scratching. I'm not fighting. You know, I really don't want to go, but just go. And just if you know, maybe just go. And if you don't want to raise your hand, don't raise your hand. If you don't worship, don't worship. But listen to the words of the music. Listen to the speakers, which the speakers are phenomenal. I mean, these guys are really good speakers, and they speak life, and they speak Jesus.
And practical things for men.
Yes, yeah.
The things
yeah.
that men go through.
There's not going to be any religion, you know. Just forget about your religion. Go expecting. But I hate for someone not to go. Even if it's their second, third time, you know, because some guys going, I didn't get anything. You didn't get anything because you didn't open up your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Come to my cabin after a session, you'll get something.
Yeah.
Go to the sessions, you're going to get something, but you need to open your heart. That's the thing is that God only gave us, He gave us one thing. He gave us choice. He gave us the choice of Him or the devil, black or white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He gave us, that's the only thing we got. We have to choose to grab that. Whenever I got up, I didn't choose to get up. I really didn't know where I was going. I literally think that maybe it was an angel that picked me up and, dude, you got
to
go.
You're just compelled
yeah.
to go. Had to.
So that was my deal. I didn't choose to go. I was not made to go because my Jesus he's a gentleman, but it was a different circumstance for me. But I've seen other guys that they choose not to go because they don't get fed or whatever, you know. And I'm going to say this, that your life can be changed, but it's up to you. It's up to you to change it. You have to make that choice. And I'm going to tell you that I'd rather you know, go through all the stuff that I go through, you know, what happened to us, you know, and, you know, 3 years ago, 2019, when we lost our boys, you mm-hmm. know, if I didn't have Jesus in my heart, if I didn't know Jesus, it would have been a bad deal for me mm-hmm. and Mandy. I mean, it would have wrecked us. So you don't know what's in the future for us. We need to, you need to say yes now and go on with life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm glad that I chose to go. I mean, I didn't, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't end up choosing to go, but I took my own pickup in case I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I just go home. I'd see you. But, you know, I went prepared, you know, thinking I was going to leave, but I did not leave. And I didn't want to come back home. I wanted that mountain experience. So came home, and of course, told Mandy, I said, I don't know where those guys go to church, but I want to go to their church. And it just so happened to be Grace Fellowship, and, you know, and that was our home church for a long time. And so now we're here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, now
here,
we're here.
In Texas?
Yeah. I mean, and I believe that there's going to be a transformation, and not only in this body, but in this community. And I believe that homes are going to change. I believe that there's going to be 1,000 people going to be saved. James, you spoke that. I believe that there's going to be healing. I believe there's going to be laying of hands, and not so much laying hands and people dropping, but we're going to be laying hands and healing.
That's right.
I believe that this is going to be a place. And you know what? Religion is invited. Religion can come here, but I guarantee you it won't leave here. They will leave differently. I'm not saying it's the building. I'm not saying it's the Holy Spirit that dwells in this place.
That's right. That's right.
And the people that are in it. And there's some folks that don't understand it yet, but we're going to get it. We're going to get there. This whole region is going to be a place where it's going to draw in a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
I speak that, and I back James whenever he said that. Said this is going to happen here.
That's right. I believe that too.
Yeah, and it's not Cornerstone. It's not Aaron. It's not Sonia, which is, you know, they're my pastors, and I honor them.
Yes.
So we've already made that connection, and they know. So it has nothing to do with them. It's what happens, you know, what we're doing as a community, as a church, and not Cornerstone.
Someone that's saying yes,
mm-hmm,
is what it is.
Yep.
That we want that.
Yep.
We have the people in the body of Christ that want that, and are, we're saying yes to that. And the Mercers say yes, and mm-hmm, they want that.
That's it.
And so, James, with all this is being said, you haven't said much because I haven't given you an opportunity, but is there anything that you want to add to any of this? I know that you went to that retreat as well.
Yeah, I went one year, and it was good. I don't remember how many, it was 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was good. It was a good deal. And like you said, you know, if you just go just not expecting to get anything, or, you know, like you said, you went, you know, I'm just going to go to be going, mm-hmm, whatever it is. It just being the man thing, right? You go up there, like you said, man, during the break, I encourage you to go ride four-wheelers, go, mm-hmm, fishing, play golf, ride your Harley, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Do stuff that men like to do, and they have men food. There was not a, yeah, salad, I don't think, yeah, seemed like up there, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
That's
and all
important.
This. And so it was good, manly food,
yep,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you're bonding with other men, and it was just a really good time. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, the music and the speakers, they were amazing.
Yeah.
They were really amazing, and I've seen them twice, but they just do a really good job, and it's a good thing to go to. And I said, nothing else, you get to eat good food, hang out with a bunch of cool guys, man. So it's not, like you said, what do you got to lose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can sit home and watch TV or something all weekend, or go hang out, whatever, you know what I mean? But it's going to be a really good time, and not only do you encounter godly men, you encounter Jesus up there.
Absolutely.
Jesus is at that meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I went the one time, and then I've been working ever since it's been back. So, but it's a really, you experience Jesus there and with other men, you,
yep,
know what I mean? And it's different. I've been to a Promise Keepers, actually, Promise Keepers meeting back in Dallas years and years ago when that whole thing had first, mm-hmm, started. And that was the first time I'd ever been around just a group of men,
mm-hmm,
and I was a young Christian, didn't know much, but that was, you just come, it just, it, like you said, there's something about being at a men's retreat around other men, and like I said, they're not going to all be these good, strong Christians, you know, and you think, man, these guys all know the Bible, and,
mm-hmm,
I haven't even read the whole Bible,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and you almost, as a man, you don't want to, you know what I mean? I can't let them know I don't know nothing. I got to at least fake it till I make it type,
yep,
deal.
Yep.
But there's not a judgment up there.
Nope.
You know what I mean? It's just, they
not
just love you. And, you know, and that sounds weird for men to say, I'm, mm-hmm, going to love one of their men. That,
yep,
just don't sound right. But it's a good thing to get into. You know what I mean? And again, if you don't know how, you know what I mean? If you come, I was the same way, you got that manly man. You just,
yep,
kind of, you know,
yep,
take it. But when you get around other men, and I was, one of my, Bible says this last week, was talking about watching your mentor, you know, when he was talking about how Elisha watched Elijah. Mm-hmm. He just, I'm not leaving your side. He watched him. And so as soon as Elijah left, he knew exactly what to do. He'd never done it, but he had learned by watching. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to these meetings like this and you see these other godly men, you know, we all have that minute. Man, I wish I knew the Bible like this guy. I wish I had the confidence this guy has, or whatever it is that, you know, that you, the devil's got you lacking in. You can see these men that have that,
yep,
and you can learn from their experience. Oh man, okay, you can do this. You can be a manly man still have a Bible in your hand.
That's,
you know what,
right,
I mean? It takes that stuff away from you. It's really good. So if anybody's never been, or, you know, it's a really good.
So it's kind of a cool deal, because if you stop and look at Jesus' disciples, they weren't Christian. I mean, they weren't, you know, they were rough and tough. You know, these guys were fishermen. I mean, if you stop and look at it, you know, Matthew was actually a mobster. You know, he's collecting. He's a tax collector. And you have all the – nowadays it'd be cowboys. It'd be bikers. You know, it'd be, you know
–
yeah, rednecks.
Rednecks,
you know,
yeah.
Roughnecks.
Yeah.
You know, lawyers, doctors. You know, it's everybody, you know, to actually come to a place. Everybody come to the place and all mixed up. And to just worship Jesus and to encounter Jesus and love on one another, pray for one another. It is probably the best time you'll ever have, and I long for that every year. And I hate that we have to wait once a year. But this is the deal: is that you get the man, you get the house. You know, your home's gonna, you know, it's just gonna change your life dramatically in your whole community and everything, the way you see life. You know, and it's okay to be a man, but it's also okay to love someone and just to let Jesus just blow through your bloodstream, you know, and let the Holy Spirit in and let Him move whenever He needs to move, you know, and have compassion.
Yes.
Compassion was a big deal for me. Now it's, you know, it's like, it ain't nothing for me to stop somewhere and help somebody, or, you know, whatever that looks like. You know, that's just the way, you know, that's the way Jesus wanted His disciples. He trained them that way. Yeah, He gave them the word, you know, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds the mouth of God.
That's right.
You know, it's okay to live off the bread. It's okay to do that. But you cannot live without the word of God. And we need that, you know. And I'll be honest with you. When I started coming to this church, and I see 90% of the team, and I'm not throwing rocks, stones, I'd like to see more men up there worship, you know, as worship leaders.
Right. And yes.
I'm not saying that the women, I mean, they're phenomenal. They're great. But it's, you know, we need to step up. I've been on a team. You know, you think I'm speaking that on myself, but that's not my season right now. But I would like to see more men up there leading worship. And I'm not saying that the women's not doing their job, because they're doing a phenomenal job and they're bringing the Holy Spirit here. And the Holy Spirit is dancing. You know, He is dwelling up there and He's having a good time. But I think we need to step it up as men of this church, of this community, step up and be the men of God that, you know, we're supposed to be. And, but it starts at home, you know, it starts at home. That's another deal.
Yeah, and that's right. And that is so true. And actually, James and I, we were having this conversation, I think might have been today or yesterday, and we were talking about men. You know, sometimes you go in most churches and the women are doing most of the work. And it's not that the women are trying to take over. It's just that it needs to be done and the men are not stepping up to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's
and
it.
And so it's a time for men to see that
mm-hmm.
as that leadership role. And like you said, it changes your home and
yep.
it changes the church and it changes the community. It changes your family and it's a domino effect. And that's actually one of the reasons why I felt like James and I went into marriage ministry is it starts in the home. If you can start in the home, you can change the country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The world. It's a domino effect.
Yep, absolutely.
Like that's right. And so you had said earlier that Cornerstone had been invited to this retreat. Now, this radio broadcast actually goes all throughout the Panhandle of Texas. And so if there is somebody that is listening tonight that would like to go to that retreat that may not be connected to any of these churches, are they able to come to this retreat?
I think the best thing to do is probably get a hold of Pastor David Gutierrez at Grace Fellowship.
Okay.
And Pastor David, he's kind of ramrodding the whole thing out of grace. So what I'm doing here is promoting our community, and if there's anybody within this area, you know,
within the Wheeler County area,
we can probably sign them up here. I really don't think that Grace Fellowship would say no, they got to be only at your church. No. I think in your area, you know, if you're, you know, there's other churches throughout the Panhandle that are going.
So by getting in contact with that pastor, they can lead them to a church that is close to mm-hmm. them, that can get them plugged into this this program.
And I believe we didn't talk about this in the last meeting we had a couple of weeks ago. We had a meeting with all the pastors. You know, we had a meeting with David Gutierrez. I believe in the past they let their, you know, the men, the husbands, dads, they brought their sons.
Oh, that's cool.
I think I think they allowed from 16 years old on up, and I think that is a very good thing, is to bring your sons,
mm-hmm.
because they need to see, they need to experience that. They're the ones. I mean, what we're doing is for the people coming behind us. You know, we're just planting seeds. That's our job, just to plant seeds and keep moving. You know, I truly think that we should bring our sons. All my sons is gone. You know, they've gone, you know, and they got things out of it. Do they go every year? No. But they've gone, you know, in a couple of times or whatever, and they got that experience, and, you know, it moved them in a way, you know. But, you know, my sons were already, you know, they already gave their life to Christ. You know, they didn't have that moment that I had, you know, that God moment, but they had other God moments, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Encounters.
I would invite your sons. I would bring your sons, you know.
So with this retreat, as we are closing the program out, if there's anybody in this Wheeler County area that would like to sign up, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay. There's two ways. Either they can come to the church and probably sign up here.
Cornerstone Church.
At Cornerstone
601
Cornerstone
South Main Street here mm-hmm. in Wheeler, Texas.
Or they can communicate with me through email. It's Amando Lujan, AmandoLujan@gmail.com. And I can lead you to where you need to go, you know, and I can sign you up or whatever. We gotta pay you up. I'm just gonna go over this real quick. So the conference cost is $160 per person, paid to Grace. Total retreat cost is $285. The deadline is September 12th to make payment, full payment. The room cost out of that deal is $125 a person. For two or three nights stay. So, that being said, if you can't go and you have the money, maybe you can pay for somebody to go to, so somebody else can have that encounter or whatever it is, you know, because you can do that too. I know there's a lot of folks that want to go, but they have the money to go, but they can't go. Well, sponsor somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
sow into that person.
Yeah. Give. You know, we'll have an envelope for somebody, and you know, somebody don't have the money, we'll bless them.
Well, Mondo, thank you so much. We're actually out of time now. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm just really excited about this. I know we wanted to get into some more topics, but so maybe we can have you come back and
absolutely,
and we can talk some more about that. Just want to remind you that we have our website, sundaynightlive.org, and if you know someone that would really be blessed by what Mondo has been talking about tonight, you can share that. It'll be posted on our website after the show, and you can share that with them. And so we just want to say thanks for tuning in, and have a good night. We'll see you next week.